You're listening to More Perfect Marketing, the show for business owners and entrepreneurs always on the lookout for smart marketing ideas to keep their business moving forward. And now, here's your host, David Baer.
Well, hello and welcome to another episode of More Perfect Marketing. It's David Baer here, and today we're going to go get in the time machine for a moment because I was thinking about, it's about a dozen years ago now when I first started my Facebook ads agency. 2011, I had just been downsized from the wine importing company as the marketing director I was working for. And I was out here in Portland, Oregon, trying to figure out what's my next move. And a friend of mine who was an owner of a winery said, "Hey, you know, David, this new Facebook platform that's been around for a few years, I noticed that they have advertising available now. Can you help me get up and running doing some ads there?" And suddenly a brand new business was born. This was the dawn of my Facebook ads agency that had a nice solid 7-year run. And I learned a heck of a lot over that 7 years. This is a platform that really democratized access for a lot of businesses to be able to leverage data and information and get in front of people in a way that up until that point, we really didn't have that kind of access. Well, I spent a good bit of my clients' money doing advertising, but not nearly as much as today's guest, who knows Facebook and related platforms inside and out in a way that I can only imagine. His name is Hernan Vasquez, and he is joining me from Buenos Aires in Argentina today. Hernan, welcome.
Hey, David. Hey, everyone. I'm really excited to be here. Thank you for having me.
So I saw as I was telling that story, you were nodding along, and I wonder what of what I said there captured your attention and said, "Oh, yeah, totally."
I think what you mentioned about democratizing access to data, right? I think that, you know, back when I started running Facebook ads, we had to do it because we were trying, and I was launching some information products back in the day with my first digital company. And we had to use it because we were trying some other ways of generating traffic and eyeballs and whatnot, and that wasn't working, right? We tried JVs, we tried SEO, that took a long time and whatnot. So, and we couldn't afford to pay Google what they were asking for a click, right? The CPC, the cost per click back in the day was really high for our keywords and our search terms. So we kind of went to Facebook into a way to generate, you know, fast, relatively cheap, and really high quality leads. And yeah, I've been doing that for the past 7 or 8 years. So yeah, I totally agree with you that, you know, it really changed the way we look at targeting and we look at advertising and we look at pixel data for, you know, small business owners and whatnot. So yeah, I'm a big fan of the platform.
All right. I mentioned that I hadn't spent nearly as much money as you. And I figured before we really dive into our conversation today, that you can provide a little context for that comment, because you've led teams in some major, major advertising campaigns on Facebook and elsewhere. And I wonder if you can sort of talk a little bit about the type of projects that you've had the opportunity to work on.
Yeah, for sure. And I've been, you know, blessed and lucky enough to work with some of the, I would say, some of the biggest personal brands and advertising companies in the world. So I work with Grant Cardone. I was Grant Cardone marketing director. I helped him build an advertising agency. I had to hire, train, and manage over 30 plus media buyers, which were the guys, you know, behind the keywords running ads on behalf of small business owners. Most of our clients were small business owners, service providers, and otherwise. And so I worked with them and I helped them build the entire marketing and as well as running all of their marketing campaigns, right? So I was building the team and running the marketing. And then I advised Tony Robbins' team and Dean Graziosi's team on one of the biggest launches that they did, which is mastermind.com. I work personally with Agora Publishing. Agora Publishing is the number one company when it comes to information publishing in the world. They're worth like $10 billion or something crazy like that. And so I generally speaking work with Frank Kern, one of the godfathers of direct response marketing. I was his CMO for 3.5 years. So I've been you know, lucky and blessed to be exposed to kind of behind the scene of how these guys operate, how these guys launch their advertising campaigns, you know, spending hundreds of thousands, sometimes millions of dollars every single month on ads, and, you know, and kind of working also with small business owners. So we, you know, at this point, we're able to translate some of the campaigns and strategies and techniques that work there to, you know, lower budgets, more local, you know, more local businesses, or even like, you know, nationwide businesses, but they might not have millions of dollars to spend on ads. And how do we make it work? So that's kind of being my career over the past, you know, almost a decade and a half.
Well, I want to circle in. This is like overwhelming for me to hear the types of, you know, projects that you've worked on, but I want to hone in on this one last comment that you made here, which is leveraging the knowledge and the information that you amassed, utilizing, you know, larger budgets, larger organizations, approaches to advertising, and how you take what you've learned there and can apply it to a smaller operation, a smaller campaign, a smaller business. And so I wonder if you can sort of help walk through the types of things that you might learn, and then where you can apply it and how it gets applied. Obviously, you know, does scale matter? And if it doesn't, what are the opportunities that exist there that you were able to take advantage of and then pass along to you know, the small business clients?
Yeah, I love that question, because, and it's also really timely, because right now we're in a position, you know, at the time of recording this podcast, there's also a big opportunity for small business owners, service providers and whatnot to leverage platforms like Facebook. And the reason behind it is because, you know, we are kind of in the middle of a weird time, you know, recession or something like that. And this is the first time, this is actually the second time that I've seen that the cost to acquire customers, leads and you know, clients and in general, revenue through the advertising campaigns. This is the second time that I've seen that it's getting cheaper. The first time that I've seen that it's all that I saw that it was getting cheaper was during the pandemic. You know, during the pandemic, a lot of advertisers, big advertisers, were pulling off their advertising dollars from major platforms like Facebook and Google, and now it's kind of happening again. So if there's an opportunity and there's a time right now to double down on marketing and advertising and acquire more market share, so that when things go back to normal, you're in a way better position, this is it, because we are seeing a decrease in cost per click and cost per, you know, per everything. So that's always good news. But
well, you know, I want to just ask you to clarify something, because when you said there's fewer advertisers and costs are going down, right? Yes. Anybody who thinks about advertising in traditional media, let's say print media, for example, might think, wait a second, fewer advertisers. Well, the publication is needing to make more money, so they're going to increase prices on the ads that do exist, that continue to exist. But that's not how it works in this environment. So can you explain that piece?
Yeah, for sure. And I love that question. And when you talk about democratizing kind of, you know, the way advertising works, most of these digital platforms, they work on a bid basis, right? So basically they work on an offer and demand kind of basis, right? So in order for you to get an impression or get an eyeball on an ad, you need to bid higher than the other guy, right? Higher than the other person. That's bidding, and that's competing for that attention, for those eyeballs, for those clicks. Without getting too much in the weeds, that means that if you're paying $100 to get your ad shown 100 times, right? When everyone else retrieves turns off their marketing, what happens is that the CPMs, which is the cost to, you know, to show your ads on these platforms, it tends to go down. There's less competition for the same amount of eyeballs. There's less competition for the same amount of clicks and impressions, because the clicks are there. People are still, they still own their Facebook account, right? They're still there. They're still on Instagram. They're still on TikTok. But since this is an offer and demand, the more demand there is, the offer is always the same, right? Because Facebook is not growing as it was at the beginning, right? It is getting new accounts, but not that many, Instagram and whatnot. So there's more demand, so there's more pressure on on those platforms, so the cost tends to go up. What happens is the inverse when something happens and a lot of huge advertisers, they're cutting their budgets in half. So now the small advertisers, the small business owner, the medium-sized businesses, now there's an opportunity, there's an opening, right? So whatever, if you were paying, let's say $40 to acquire a lead or a prospect, you know, December, November last year, you might be looking at maybe paying 12 or 15 at this point. So there's a big opportunity. That's how it works.
That's awesome. And we actually are seeing this. We don't do in our business management of ads for very many clients because we don't serve clients anymore. But we have three clients who are sort of grandfathered in. And we saw this, that the cost per registration of a phone call, which is the ultimate goal for this particular campaign, dropped from something like $68 to, we just this past week saw $27. And we were just amazed. And so it's great to you know, leverage the opportunity that you're describing right now. Okay, I cut you off and you were going off in a new and interesting direction. And I hope you remember where you were going, because I sure don't.
Yeah, no, yeah, for sure. No, we were talking about what some of these big guys are doing that we can apply for small business owners, right? And, you know, there's this, we at scaledriven.com, we offer the done for you, right? The agency and whatnot. But we also have our coaching program. And we have one of our coaching students. He's one of the most successful coaching students. He actually grew his business by 400% or something like that since joining our coaching program. And the reason why he was able to do that is because he was able to leverage some of these big companies' strategies, but to his scale. And there's this, And the way this works is that you see Grant Cardone, you see, for instance, you know, Tony Robbins and these big names, and they have books, right? You have several books back there as well, you know, in your background. So a book funnel or a book is a great tool for you to acquire customers over the internet, right? People understand books, they know books, they read books, they buy books and whatnot. But the reality is that a lot of small business owners and whatnot, they are afraid or they're publishing a book and they're expecting to make money out of that book, right? And the way these big companies use those books, like for instance, you know, you can see the 10X rule, Grant Cardone 10X rule, and, you know, Unshakable from Tony Robbins and whatnot. These are what we call in marketing, these are book funnels, right? And book funnels basically mean is that you sell the book, right? You sell the book through advertising, through Facebook ads. You don't send people to Amazon. You send people to your own, you know, landing pages and whatnot. And then on that same funnel, you might have maybe a couple of additional resources for your clients, right? Tony, that's his name. He's a financial advisor. And he has his book, a book that he's written, I don't know, 15 years ago and still like really, you know, relevant right now. And he also has a couple of additional resources for clients that he also sells on that funnel. So he has a resource for $27 and then another for $47 and whatnot. At the end of the day, what's happening is that some people just buy the book, some people buy the book and some other stuff, right? But then what happens is that that machine right there is allowing him to do two things. The first one is that he liquidates some or all of the ad cost, right? So he's paying, let's say, $20 or $30 to acquire a book buyer, right? A buyer. And then he's making, on average, overall, around $30, $40 per book buyer because of these additional products that he has on his funnel. So he's immediately liquidating his ad cost, right? And then, but not that, that's just the front end. His main gig or his main business is the financial advisory. So what he does is he calls every book buyer because the book is set out in a way that he will target his ideal demographic and his ideal, you know, client and whatnot. So that's how he was able to grow without a huge budget. He's spending maybe a couple thousand dollars per month. He was able to grow his business 400%. So instead of going the traditional approach, and by the way, this is something that, again, every single big name out there, that's how they grow so massively. That's how they amass massive amounts of sales, massive amounts of leads, because they're liquidating the ad cost pretty fast, right? Over the first point of transaction. So I think there's an opportunity here for a lot of service providers to kind of grab that strategy that allows them to basically get buyers and get leads for free, right? And then you call them, you follow up with all of these people. And that's how, you know, that's just one strategy that we're seeing that works really well for service providers is having a book funnel, or it doesn't even have to be a book. It could be a short program, you know, a couple modules, a couple videos that you sell. And then on the back end, that's where the real, you know, the real money is made, where your business is grown. But that's just one of the strategies that we've been able to teach our students and show our clients and implement for clients that, you know, we brought from some of these big names and what they're doing, and it really works.
So you've introduced a concept here that I think, as I talk to service providers a lot, maybe if we're lucky, 50% of them understand the answer to the question, or even the question itself: what is your cost of acquisition? What is, how much does it cost you to get a new client? Right. And so this is something that I imagine for many small businesses coming into an environment like the one that you're describing, that there's this learning curve of, I have this cost associated with it. So, you know, in the past, I just went out and did networking, or I would do public speaking and I'd get some appointments booked and there was no cost. Now you're telling me I have to spend money. And so I wonder if you can speak to this, obviously, because this is, you know, for well over a century now, businesses have been paying cash or some form of monetary cost to acquire their customers. And this is just, you know, the latest iteration of it is the online version of it.
Yes, no. Totally. And I think you're totally right there. And I think that, you know, there's never a free lunch. You know, there's no such thing as free lunch. You're either paying for a customer with your time, right? Or with money. You're either going to the conference, or you're doing public speaking and you're spending however many hours there, you know, on stage, and you're flying and whatnot, or maybe you're getting paid, which is awesome. But the main point is that you're either paying with time or with money, right? So this is another way for you to have clarity. And you're totally right. Like many of the people that come our way, they might not know, right, how much they can pay or how much they want to pay per customer. So they come to us and they say, wait, well, how much do you say? Well, at that point, what we do is we run what's called a detective campaign, because that's one of the most important metrics, one of the two most important metrics that you can pay attention to when it comes to running advertising is how much you're paying to acquire a customer. Right. There's a lot of additional metrics that, and sometimes it can get overwhelming, you know, is your cost per click or cost per lead or this and that, the other thing. But the number one thing that we pay attention to, or one of the two things that we pay attention to, is your cost to acquire a customer. If you don't know that, then we will need to spend some money and some time understanding how much we're going to pay to acquire a customer, right? If you are running a campaign, for instance, to get phone calls, which is your case, okay, how many of those phone calls you need to have in order to close a client, right? And then you multiply the number of phone calls that you have and how much you paid times how many you need to have, and that's your cost to acquire a customer. That's the one metric that we pay attention to. And the other metric that we pay attention to is the lifetime value of a customer, right? And this is something that service providers might be more aware of, right? Like, how much is a customer worth to them over the lifetime of that customer? So for Tony and his team, it might be worth, you know, $20,000, $30,000, $40,000, $50,000, because he's a financial advisor and he gets commission, and people don't usually change those plans and whatnot, and they stay with him forever. So very well, he might be, you know, he might be looking at $20,000, $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 worth of a lifetime value. So if you think about it, the gap between how much is costing you to acquire a customer versus the lifetime value of a customer, that's how profitable your campaign is, right? And that's the revenue that you're generating through ads. The reality is that when it comes to referrals, when it comes to networking, when it comes to boots in the ground, that is, you know, those are great, but they're hardly scalable, versus understanding your cost to acquire a customer. Through paid advertising, for instance, you can get as many customers as you can get. So you can scale a lot faster.
So you talked about, this is just one of the many different metrics that you look at, and that there's a degree of complexity to the Facebook ads platform, and it's gotten more complex. It's gotten simplified. It's never the same from week to week. In fact, yesterday I had a copywriter connected with me to just learn the basics of Facebook. And he said, so tell me, you know, how does this work? What do I need to do? And the first question I asked him was, well, tell me, how many different ways are there to write a sales letter? And he said, well, there's an infinite number of ways. And I said, well, that's what we deal with in Facebook and all of these platforms as well. So, and what I meant by that was, you know, he wanted traffic from the platform to end up on a sales page. And that was the first question. I said, well, do you want somebody to go right to the sales page, or is there, what do we want them to experience and see first? Do we want to capture the information, the contact information, or do we want to capture the their presence on your website so you could go back to them with ads? What sort of message do we want in the ad? And you know, Hernan, that this is just an infinite number of follow-up questions I could be asking him. So I wonder, how do you help a business figure out what to prioritize among this vast range of options?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, and that's a great question. So we do have our proven and tested funnels, you know, that we have kind of inherited or we have developed, right? And again, after running ads for quite a while, you probably have them as well, right? Which, you know, all right, this is the type of campaign that we're going to run for you because, you know, it's battle tested. It's worked for many other service providers, for many other business owners. We're going to go with that. So I think that gives a lot of clarity to our clients and the strategies that we put together for them in terms of, okay, these are the funnels that we're going to be running for you. These are the type of campaigns that we're going to be running for you because we know they work, right? Because as you say, everyone has their little book on how to run ads, how to, you know, generate leads. But if I was to kind of, you know, simplify down to just two metrics that you want to pay attention to, no matter what funnel you're running, no matter what type of marketing campaign you're running, is cost to acquire customer versus lifetime value. You know, those two metrics are the number one thing. And, you know, funny enough, a lot of people, or at least before, you know, last year, they were complaining that, which was the case, it was true that Facebook ads has been getting more and more expensive. So if somebody was paying, you know, again, $20 to acquire a customer, now they were paying $60 and whatnot. And the reality is that, in my opinion, trying to lower your cost to acquire a customer, you're always going to be hitting a floor because, again, you're competing against many other advertisers. You're competing against not only your competitors, but also people that are trying to reach that ideal audience, right? So you will always hit a floor that you cannot go through because, again, the marketplace will decide how much you're going to pay to acquire a customer. However, if you turn around and if you focus on lifetime value, that's, you don't have a ceiling, right? You don't have a ceiling when it comes to lifetime value. You don't have a ceiling. You're only competing against yourself because the reality is that there's always more value that you can give to your customers, right? And they'll give you more money. That is something that I also learned from, you know, working with Grant Cardone, is that Grant Cardone, with his, you know, with his demographic, with his ideal audience, he goes maybe an inch wide but a mile deep when it comes to the offers and the new products and the new verticals, right? He targets small business owners, entrepreneurs with, you know, something like sales. And then from sales, he targets them with retirement, right? Cardone Capital. And then he partnered up with entrepreneurs, with Cardone Ventures, and then he partners up and helps them scale. So I think that when it comes to the lifetime value of a customer, if you get creative, if you offer them more value, and, you know, clients will become more valuable for you because they'll give you more money. There's never a ceiling to that. So that's where, you know, that's another thing that I learned working with these big companies. It's like, okay, what else is there? Something that we do for clients is we help them develop additional offers, additional products and services that they can offer to the ideal client. Because, you know, a buyer is a buyer is a buyer. A client is a client is a client. And you only have to pay for that client once. So
I think that we probably quoted this half a dozen or more times on this show, but I love the Dan Kennedy quote, he or she who can afford to spend the most to acquire a new customer wins. And that's basically the point that you've made, which is, you know, you're going to have competitors falling off left and right because they're not willing to spend more. But if you can figure out A, it's justified to spend more, or B, how do I recoup more of it more quickly? And you talked about this in terms of the self-liquidating offer of the book example that you gave, but you could just as easily sell them a book and then sell them, you know, the audio version of the book right behind the physical version of the book for and get a little bit more money and find that if your costs go up, you can probably liquidate that cost just as easily by adding to the offer.
Yeah, exactly. And that's basically what we are doing with clients is, what else is there, right? If you have the book version, then maybe there's, and if you've written more than one book like you did, you can offer them the bundle of books, you know, the audio version. Sometimes we like to follow up with a small mini course, you know, like it's 3, 4, 5 videos, they usually do well. Some business providers and some business owners and local business owners, they also do a membership, right? So it might be like $27 a month or $97 a month. And they have a community of people of their ideal audience. And the goal of that membership is to, you know, get people to upgrade into their main service or their flagship service and all that. So I think that if you get creative, if you kind of, you know, think outside the box when it comes to your expertise, it's not just the thing that you are selling, you know, whether if you are a CPA or a lawyer or whatever that is, you can get really creative, and that's how you win this advertising game, because the potential to generate value is pretty much endless or infinite.
Well, I'm really glad that you brought this point up about sort of differentiating yourself through, you know, not necessarily just selling the service, but creating other opportunities to get in front of the audience and make a different offer. A lot of the service providers I've had conversations about, you know, exactly what we've been talking about with, they will say, well, I'm not in the business of creating courses or writing books. That's not how I want to make my money. And to a certain extent, it's just a strategic means to the end, right? You go back to this example of Tony, the financial advisor. Well, your example was that the lifetime value of his clients are tens of thousands of dollars because he's managing their money, not because he's selling them courses. But right, he may use a book, as was the case in his example, to get them to become the client who is now giving their assets for him to manage. And so you do eventually wind up where the business, you know, currently exists in terms of its model, its structure. But these are devices to help get people there. And maybe you make a little bit of extra money. Maybe you just cover the cost of the acquisition. But how many of your competitors are actually doing this?
Right. Yeah, totally. Like we, you know, I had a financial advisory only marketing firm for a while, you know, with Paul Getter and some other partners and whatnot. And, you know, every financial advisor that we talked to, they were doing the proverbial, you know, dinner seminar. They would do the chicken dinner and they would get people in there and whatnot. But then the pandemic hit, right? And they had to stop doing it because they couldn't get anyone on a seminar. So those people that survived were the ones that got creative, all right? And of course, none of these financial advisors were in the catering, you know, business. They were not in the, oh, let's do a chicken dinner or a dinner seminar business. They were not in that, but they were using that as a device to get people and to manage their wealth. And that's exactly the case. It's just getting creative, because a community might take you, I don't know, maybe an hour a week, something like that. You know, you jump on a call, you advise people on the spot or something along those lines, and it gets you out there a lot more than just doing whatever else your competitors are doing. So when people came in, when these financial advisors came in and say, well, we do dinner seminars. Yes, you do it because everyone else is doing it. Why don't we do a book funnel? You know, why don't we do a mini webinar funnel, right? Again, they're not in the information business, but they used information as an excuse, as a hook, as an offer to get people to their core business. So that makes a lot of sense.
I love that. And you may not know that financial advisors were actually a focus of our agency before we shifted to a different focus and stopped running an agency. In fact, I've written a book on marketing for financial advisors, talking about pretty much what you've just described there, which is awesome. So, Hernan, I want to make sure that folks who are listening know a little bit more about the work that you do. Obviously, you have both the agency work, and there's also coaching and a new community that you've recently launched. And so why don't you share a little bit of info about those?
Yeah, for sure. So at scaledriven.com, we do have our digital marketing agency. You know, that's kind of our core business. And there's a decent amount of people that come to us and they say, yeah, I want you guys to run my ads. I want you guys to build my funnels. I want you guys to do my emails. That's what we do, right? We started with Facebook ads, but then we started branching out to some other networks and building marketing funnels and emails for clients as well. But some people, they just want to do it on their own, or some people, they have maybe a marketing person that they want to train, or maybe they're working with another agency and whatnot, and they want to train them. So yeah, we decided to launch our own coaching program where we basically, you know, all of the training that we do for our internal team at scaledriven.com, we share it with them. We share all of our templates or funnels or, you know, pretty much everything. And then, yeah, we just launched a new community. Actually, we launched it today. It's at scaledrivencommunity.com. It's for high ticket. So on that case, and I consider high ticket everyone that's selling a product or a service, $3,000 to $5,000 and up. They usually sell it on the phone. You know, that's kind of my definition, quote unquote, of high ticket. Mm-hmm. And on that community, what we do is we share basically these campaigns. We break down these campaigns. It's, you know, we take a look at the ads that we're running for other clients, for ourselves and whatnot, for our own campaigns, for our own products, for clients' products and whatnot. It's pretty cool. And it's free to join. So it's scaledrivencommunity.com. If you guys want to join, it's there. If you want to know more about us, scaledriven.com. And if you search for my name in social, you know, YouTube, Instagram and whatnot, we have a YouTube channel with over 700 videos or something like that. So you can find me there too.
Yeah, there's a lot of really great, solid advice and gold in those YouTube videos. So we'll make sure to leave links to all the above, the new community, the agency, and your YouTube channel as well. So Hernan Vasquez, thank you so very much for hanging out with me. This has been great.
Thank you, David. I had a lot of fun. Thank you for having me.
Indeed. Folks, this has been More Perfect Marketing. If you know somebody who could benefit from listening to the conversation you just heard, please share it with them. Until next time, my name is David Baer, and this is More Perfect Marketing. Take care.
You have been listening to More Perfect Marketing. Now you can put what you've learned here into practice when you join the free listener community at mpmcommunity.com. That's mpmcommunity.com. When you join today, you'll receive David's collection of 26 smart marketing cheat sheets to help you master your marketing, plus additional business building training. So don't delay. Join us today at mpmcommunity.com. We can't wait to welcome you.